is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960. And it's time for Keeping Up with the Cougars, brought to you by DentalProsOfUtah.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com studios. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic. It is time for, yes, another Keeping Up with the Cougar segment. This time it's going to be brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports. If you want to get in on the game, right, truly in on the game and get into the minutia, every nooks and crannies, and win some money while you're doing it, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. If you love fantasy sports, you're going to love Underdog Fantasy. It's the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. And March Madness is here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. College basketball pick 'em is the fastest way to get in on the action. So all you got to do, download the app or go to the website. If you're making a bracket for the NCAA tournament this week, you can add some extra sweat, a little something to the game by playing college basketball pick 'em on Underdog Fantasy's website or app. Pick 'em game. Pick whether your favorite player will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's March Madness games of your choice for a chance to win big. Up to 20 times your money in a single night. And you can utilize that ESPN 960 promo code, and you're going to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. That's $100 back in your pocket to be able to distribute for all of your high-low pick'ems. So check it out today, Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports. Let's get out to the hotline and welcome in a former BYU Cougar. March Madness is here, and we have to celebrate an NCAA record today. Like, we're talking how we'd build our best starting five of former BYU Cougars. This guy was a part of that particular conversation, so he'll be a part of the conversation here. But also, we got to celebrate a NCAA tournament record. What was the deficit? 20? 25?
25 points.
25 points down to Iona in the second half. And BYU basketball is led by the left-handed Jimmer, Matt Carlino, to victory, along with Brock Zylstra. Got to give some credit to Brock Zylstra as well. Let's welcome in former BYU great Matt Carlino to the show. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Doing good, man. How the heck are you? Give us updates. How are things going for your the beginning of March Madness? How's your bracket?
Oh, bracket is already busted. No, it's going good. It's so awesome. This is the best time of year, and I just love I watch the games all season, but it's just so interesting how it shakes out towards the end here.
It is crazy. Unfortunately, U of A's ruined everybody's bracket. Found it very interesting. I just tweeted this out. Princeton doesn't have any NIL deals, nor do they have scholarships, and I wonder what everyone's thinking right now. Maybe we don't need as much NIL money as we thought we did. Maybe we don't need scholarships. Shoot, look at Princeton. How are they attracting the talent and the coaching that they got going on there to knock off U of A? But March Madness is upon us. Pretty crazy. Now, Matt, want to get up to date on everything that you're doing. Give us an update. Where you living? How's the family? Where you working? All the things.
Yeah, my wife and I, we're in Arizona right now. I am working for a family construction company called Mance Construction. And I am also looking about getting back into coaching. So doing that now, but kind of reaching out to some people in college and NBA and just doing that. So we'll see whatever the Lord has in store for me, whatever his plans are. That's what I'm going to go with. And just super blessed to be where I'm at right now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to hear that. Like, it sounds like obviously you came off of your professional career, you got into coaching, now dabbled in the business world. Got to still scratch that itch, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've been out of it now 2 years. I was a graduate assistant at TCU, and yeah, it's definitely an itch. I mean, I had been in basketball my whole life since as long as I can remember. So it was nice the first year to kind of have a different kind of life with some weekends and just some normalcy. But I really miss the relationships, and I miss just competing in basketball. And so, yeah, looking to get back into it.
Love it.
Matt, having been a grad assistant at TCU, what can you tell us about the Big 12 in basketball? I mean, we know from the outside looking in
going to be tough.
That it's going to be tough. But what are some maybe details that about traveling in that conference and playing in that conference can you help us out with?
Yeah, it's obviously you guys said it. It's I believe it's the toughest conference in the country, and I played in the Big East, which is also considered one of the toughest conferences in the country, but I think I'd have to give the nod to the Big 12. Just every game is just really tough, and you know, you're playing in really hostile environments every night. But for the Cougars, I think I've been telling people, I think it'll be good that there's a healthy fear. I think there should be a healthy fear for BYU and the fans. I think when I went into to BYU and we were just transitioning to the WCC, and I think there was, just from my point of view at that time, we had a little bit of an arrogance going into the WCC, kind of seemed like a little bit of a downgrade. So I think it'll be helpful for BYU going to the Big 12 and kind of having what I like to say, like that healthy fear of, you know, wanting to compete at a higher level.
Love that. Now, there needs to be a swagger, but also a fear and a sense of urgency about how you go about your business. This is high-level basketball. You got to win. You got to win now. You got to compete. You got to compete now. You got to get after it in the gym. Be a gym rat if you want to compete at the highest of levels. We got Matt Carlino, former BYU great basketball player, here on ESPN 960. We've seen BYU basketball have had its ups and downs over the last, you know, the last decade of West Coast Conference play, and there's been times in which BYU's made it to the NCAA tournament, one and done. Other times in which they've made it to the NIT and gone deep. How would you describe BYU basketball over the last decade, Matt?
Yeah, it has been some ups and downs. I mean, you know, when I came into it, they were just, with my redshirt year, it was coming off Jimmer Mania, and that was like peak BYU, and it was amazing. And then we got into the WCC, and I think from riding that wave of Jimmer Mania, we kind of, we had a lot of success. I mean, I played with the, you know, NCAA career leader in triple doubles, the BYU all-time leading scorer. I played with a couple of guys, Mika and Davies, who both played in the NBA. I played with a lot of really good players. And that was just naming a few. Played with Charles Buo, who's the all-time all-time wins leader. So I played with just a bunch of amazing teammates. But then, you know, I think COVID was weird too, because that team was really good the year, that COVID year, and then they didn't get to participate in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So, and then this year obviously was disappointing for Cougar fans. But, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs and a lot of good players come through. And, you know, it's been fun. And hopefully, like I said, the Big 12 will attract better players, because it's just a higher level of competition.
Hey, Matt, I'm sure I'm like a lot of BYU fans and spent some time either this week or earlier today even watching the BYU comeback against Iona in the NCAA tournament when you were playing for the Cougars. What can you tell us about your recollection of that 25-point comeback?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, I think I'm on the show. I tweeted out because that was just one of my greatest basketball memories ever. Mm-hmm. You know, 25 points, I tell people that, and they're like, that's crazy. But
yeah,
the biggest thing that I remember about that is actually the preface to the game. So I was talking with a guy named Kelly Peters, who he now works in the NBA, he works for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he was doing like the pregame work for Steve Kerr, who called that game. And I remember he was texting me, just trying to get little insights and tidbits on our team beforehand for Steve Kerr. And I remember very vividly he texts me and he said, if you try to run with them, they're going to kill you. And I was looking at the text and I was like, what is he talking about? That's what we do. Like, if they try to run with us, that's going to be a problem for them. And I remember, like, just being at halftime and we were just getting blown out. And I was like, man, he wasn't joking. And then I think our endurance and just like we just kept with it. And that's just, we didn't stop. We just played and played. And it was just it was almost like a blur, because when you're coming back from that big of a deficit, and then I think we ended up winning by like 6 points even. It wasn't even close. It didn't even, like, it was crazy. But that's what I remember most about that game.
Well, and the president of the United States was at the previous game. I think the prime minister of England was there too. But they left before your game started.
Yeah, I remember we were having trouble getting into the arena because they were trying to get Barack Obama out of the arena, which is really funny.
Crazy times.
And one of the things I noticed watching this game, Matt, was defensively, I mean, they got a lot of shots to fall early in the game, but I think that your team's length ended up bothering them when you made your comeback. I think Noah's length, I think your length on the guard line a little bit. Mm-hmm. Brock was a pretty good defender. I think all those guys kind of combined to kind of slow down their role, and that's where you guys kind of turned it around, was defensively.
Yeah, and we were deep too. I think I remember DeMarcus Harrison had a really good game.
He did. That's
that
right.
Game. Yeah, and I mean, we were just like, we had a lot of guys. We had just a bunch of guys who could on any given night, step up. And I think that's also something that was special about all the teams that I played on. We had just a bunch of guys who, whenever they were called on, they could step up, and, you know, they never knew when it was their turn, but when it was, they were ready, and that was one of those nights.
Indeed it was. A magical, a maddening night for Iona, right, after being up 25. We got Matt Carlino here on ESPN 960 reflecting on March Madness, reflecting on his time at BYU. Matt, I got to bring it up, man. Long ago, you decided to leave Brigham after having some success there. A great career at BYU. I think as far as assists are concerned, I think you're like in top five. Had you come back that year, you may have been the all-time assist leader in BYU basketball history. Phenomenal shooter, phenomenal facilitator. You end up at Marquette. Do you ever look back and wonder what could have been at BYU the following year? Because I sure do. Give me your thoughts on this.
You know, not really. I don't. It was at that point in my life, my time had run its course, I felt like. I loved my teammates. I actually had lunch not that long ago here in Arizona with Josh Sharp.
Nice.
And we just kind of talked about the good old days, and I have so much love for all those guys, and but at the same time, it was kind of just time for me to move on. There was just time. I guess that's the best way to describe it. And I try not to look backwards. And I never had any ill will towards the team. I always wanted them to do well. And I know as a Cougar fan, maybe some of them, you might be in the minority, Ben. Some of them might have wondered what could have been if I would have stayed. But for me personally, I never really looked back.
No, I feel you. Like, I think it's important not to, you know, reflect too harsh and look back at the past and maybe some of the past opportunities. But I've made the argument many times on our show that BYU basketball needed an additional ball handler that year. They needed an additional point guard, right? I think in their final game that season, if I'm not mistaken, it was against Ole Miss in the NCAA tournament. I believe if Matt Carlino was on that roster, we'd come out victorious. Because guess what? We had like a 17-point lead at halftime before turnovers got us.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. There was a ton of good players on that team. And, you know, it's so, like I said at the beginning of this, in the tournament. It's just so funny how things shake out. It's just so unpredictable. But yeah, I mean, I wish in the time that I did have there, we could have gone farther. I think my junior year, it was a huge blow when Kyle Collinsworth went down in the conference tournament.
Yep.
We actually, Josh and I had talked about that game as well, because we should have beat Oregon. I have a good story. I don't know if you have time, but
yeah.
We should have beat Oregon earlier in the year. And then we ended up playing him in the tournament. But that game against Oregon during the regular season, we had just lost to Utah before, and it was probably the toughest practice of all time after that. It was a bad loss, but I want to say if we had a little bit more legs in that Oregon game, I think we would have beat them then, and I think we would have beat them if we would have had Kyle as well. Would have been a different story, so that was a bummer.
That's a tough thing. Injuries can derail a magical season like that. A guy's talented as KC that handles and distributes and can get to the rim, get to the free throw line, play great defense. They're not a dime a dozen. They're tough to come by, no doubt.
Yeah, Matt, I wanted to get your perspective on the transfer portal. I mean, obviously, when you transferred in your career, things were very different. What are your thoughts on how the freedom of a player to move on has changed so dramatically in college basketball?
I think it's gotten a little out of hand. I think it is good that these guys can get an opportunity to leave and go elsewhere, and also for, you know, programs to be able to rebuild quickly. I do believe it's gotten a little out of hand. I mean, I see guys, everyone always says, like, I was like the guy who played at like four different places because I was committed to Indiana, then I went to UCLA. But I mean, shoot, I only actually played at BYU and Marquette. I see guys now that they're like, oh, he's now on his fourth school and he's played at all four schools. And I'm like, how did this even happen? But, I think it's good. I mean, coaches can leave. I think it's good that players are able to, you know, have the freedom to be able to go where they want. I feel bad personally for a lot of the high school kids, though. I think that they're really feeling the brunt of this, and I don't necessarily agree. I think you need to build a program thinking guys are going to be there and be part of a program. I think it's really hard to just rebuild every year. So yeah, it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but I think it's gotten out of hand. But I do think it's nice that they don't have to make up fake stories anymore about how they're moving schools and trying to get an NCAA exemption. At least they can just leave and go somewhere else.
Yeah, it is a little bit volatile. It is difficult to navigate it as a coach. I think it's also difficult to navigate it as a player, though. When you have opportunities to go to a pasture that seems greener, it's pretty enticing, especially with NIL being involved as much as it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely unique. It doesn't always work out, though. Thing. Like when I left from UCLA and went to BYU, now you see a little bit more of it, but it used to be like if you were transferring from a school, it was because you couldn't really play there and you wanted to, you know, downgrade where you were going. But now you see a lot of the like trying to transfer up. And I think it has changed a lot. It's a totally different dynamic.
Matt Carlino here on ESPN 960, getting an update on him, what he's doing. You mentioned that you're looking to possibly get into coaching. Would you ever consider coming back to BYU and becoming a coach here?
I get asked that from time to time from people when I do talk about coaching. You know, I feel like I do know BYU really well. I know the Big 12 very well. You know, I love Coach Pope, and if there was an opportunity, I would definitely be open to it. I think that I could be helpful in many ways, but, you know, he seems to have a good staff there, and I know they're doing good things. But I'm always rooting for Coach Pope and those guys, and Cody was with us. Cody Feger was with us as well when I was there. Mm-hmm. So, personally, I think I still got some helping in me for the Cougars, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Would you come back? Would it have to be kind of a full-time coaching gig, or would you take I don't know all the different positions that are available now at BYU or even within the NCAA, like analyst, grad assistant. I don't know, like, would it have to be coaching, or could there be another job opening that's not necessarily like full-time coach?
Yeah, I don't even know that, too. Every program has their different things that they have. You know, some programs have like 9 guys on staff, and, you know, not all of them can be on the floor. But I've tried to help out Coach Pope as much as I can. I mean, when Alex Barcelo was going through the transferring process, I put Coach Pope in touch with really the guy that I believe kind of got Alex. And obviously Alex made his own decision, and I don't know him too well. But I think I helped facilitate him getting to BYU. And I always, whenever I come across a guy who I think might have interest, or BYU might have interest in them, I always try to help out Coach. So just giving the name to the guy or whatever. So I'm always trying to help behind the scenes as much as I can, but obviously you can help more when you're there.
No doubt about it. Matt Carlino on the line, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Matt, it's been fun catching up with you. Glad you're doing well. Can't wait to see where your career takes you. Always love talking ball with you as well. My final question for you is this, and I'm trying to find it on the interwebs right now. One of my favorite plays all time from Matt Carlino is where you pulled up from like the free throw line, and it looked like you were going to go in and like just like tomahawk dunk over somebody. Do you remember this? Was it versus like Sean Kemp Jr. or something like that? I can't remember. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Where you're like cocking it back. Who was that against?
Yeah, that was Sean Kemp Jr. And the funny one about that is I remember telling Ants and Winder in warm-ups of that game that I was like, I'm going to try to dunk on Sean Kemp Jr. because it's Sean Kemp Jr. And they got the perfect photo of an absolutely failed attempt. And it was brilliant. It was great.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, so you, this was, it seemed like it was premeditated, I'll be honest. Like, you know, so that is valid. It was premeditated. You were planning on dunking on, or trying to dunk on Sean Kemp Jr.
Yeah, I remember telling Anson in warmups, I said, I remember seeing Sean Kemp Jr. I said, I got to try to dunk on Sean Kemp Jr. because it's Sean Kemp Jr. And, I mean, the photo is just epic. I don't know where it is.
I just found it. I'm posting this thing.
Yeah, it's great. So I probably looked at Anson right after it, too, like, and he probably laughed, knowing just being a knucklehead.
Love it, man. Oh, shoot. What was your favorite memory of being a BYU Cougar? Your favorite memory? Was it the Iona game? Was it a different situation? Was it trying to dunk over Sean Kemp? Give it to me.
Man, I have so many great memories. I loved my teammates so much at BYU. I guess selfishly, one of my favorite memories is going into the Portland game, my last ever game. I knew that was going to be my last ever game in the Marriott Center. And it was a nice game. I mean, I had a dunk. I had, you know, some points, and it was just a nice send off for me, knowing like that was going to be my last game there. So that was a special memory to me, because I mean, I haven't been back. I don't even think I've been back in the Marriott Center since. So that was like my goodbye to the Marriott Center, and that was a nice moment.
Love that, man. Great reminiscing with you, Matt. We appreciate you. Let us know if we can do anything for you. We'd love to see you in Cougar Blue once again coaching up as they go into the Big 12. We'd love to have you, man. Thanks so much for hopping on today, brother.
All right, Ben. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Matt Carlino, ladies and gentlemen. Double D, any thoughts?
Great guest. Really interesting talking to Matt Carlino. And the thing about, you know, he's talking about trying to get back into coaching.
Yeah.
The NCAA has approved for college basketball programs to have two more assistant coaches in the building on the bench, but not out recruiting. We talked to Mark Pope about that today, and he said more or less that's going to be an internal sort of move where guys they already have on staff are going to be designated differently.
Sure.
But that's probably not the case everywhere. So hopefully Matt can get an opportunity to get back on the bench and coach it up and share some of the knowledge that he's developed over the course of his career. But it was a great talking to Matt.
No doubt. What was your favorite memory of Matt when he was playing? You got one?
You know, I'm thinking about, and I probably would have to go back, see if I could find it. But he had a game, it might have been against St. Mary's, where he just went off. Just was like, it was crazy that he was able to, and let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm going to look that up. But he was such an explosive player offensively. Left-handed,
yeah.
Which I love, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking for it, but
no, you're okay.
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, he had some great games. I don't know what his career game was, but it may have been that particular game. Was it his junior season?
Let's see.
He went off that game versus Portland went off for 30. That was in February 2022. That was a great game. He had 28 versus Pacific that junior year. Portland went off for 25 as well. 21 versus Wichita State earlier in the season. He had some great games, man.
Yeah, 28 against Santa Clara in a game. That wasn't a loss. No, that wasn't a win, sorry. 10 for 17.
So was it his sophomore season?
I don't know.
St. Mary's?
I'm just trying to recall. It just seems like I know they won at St. Mary's, but he only had 4 points in that game, so that's not the one I was thinking of. But just an exciting player to watch with a lot of ability and get up and very aggressive as an offensive player. Just
no doubt.
I'm taking my wax here as a shooter, and he did some great things for the Cougars while he was here. And he didn't really want to talk about why he left specifically, other than it was time to move on. I did want to mention that he did say several times, I really loved my teammates. Mm-hmm. Didn't have much to say about the coaching staff, so you can read into that whatever you
sure.
want. But, you know, he started at Indiana, went to UCLA, didn't play at either of those places, then mm-hmm. ended up playing for BYU and was an all-conference player at Marquette as well. So a good career for Matt Carlino.
We'll go to break coming up next. What's cooking with the Cougars? This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.